Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, no matter where you're from, how you grew up, what type of family you've come from, whether your family was really dysfunctional or maybe just a little bit, all of us have family stories. And these are our origin stories, and they play an important role in our life. Now, these stories may be true, maybe contain some embellishments, family lore, or maybe a mixture of all. As family stories are told, one involves my family from an early age. And one Christmas morning, my sister and I, who is a number of years older than me, were getting along uncharacteristically well that morning. Maybe it was because it was Christmas morning. And we just really wanted to go sledding. But there's no snow outside. Rarely does it snow in Maryland, let alone Christmas Day. So we still wanted to feel the thrill to go sledding on Christmas Day. So we decided to do the next best thing. We got a sleeping bag, and we decided that we were going to use our sleeping bag and ride it down our stairs to go sledding. So we got into our sleeping bag at the top of the stairs and started to ride down. It was kind of bumpy all the way down. And as we're going down, we're laughing, having fun. But then it hit me. We didn't figure out how we were going to stop when we got to the bottom. Because when we got to the bottom of the stairs, a wall stopped us. And as we were laughing through the whole experience, we stood up only to find this large, gigantic hole in the wall below the stairs. Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad. Here's a hole in the wall, right? My parents are here today, so maybe they remember it. Maybe they blocked it out of their minds. But through the years, it's been a matter of debate between me and my sister who caused the hole in the wall, because her being several years older than me, being taller at the time, naturally, her foot would be first, so she was the one that put the hole in the wall. It was her fault, not mine. Right, Mom and Dad? It's her fault, not mine. So began the so-called Christmas morning disaster of 1988. And I still haven't forgotten that story. And maybe there's family stories that are in your family that are funny or maybe embarrassing or maybe you just plain want to forget. But those stories are important because those stories speak to our genesis, our origins. We Christians have a family origin story. It's about how we were created, how we've lived, who we are, who we were, who we are to become, and how we've changed. And this story, that as we read it, we find in Genesis 1 and 2. And this week, this morning, we'll look at our origins and how, if at all, evolution plays a role in humanity's family origin story. For thousands of years, humanity has asked where we've come from. And in our Judeo-Christian faith, Genesis 1 and 2 speak to that need to know our origin. Our ancient ancestors describe our origin story in this way, that God, a personal and loving creator, made the world and everything in it in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And in those days of creation, God created the sun, the sky, the water, the plants, animals, insects, and he sat back and he said, "Hey, I did a pretty good job with this," and he called it good. And after his creation, God realized something was missing, a type of creation that was made in God's likeness. Now, it's not that we're made to look like God, because actually in Scripture, when people see God or they see a part of God, it looks nothing like humanity. Ezekiel, Moses, Elijah, they see an essence of God. But God created us to reflect a likeness, that we have feelings, we have a conscience, we have free choice, and we have the capacity to love. Those four things are unique that nothing else in creation has. So simple origin story, right, of our family of faith. God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, right? It's simple. But as we've become smarter and more insightful as humans, people have cited problems with our origin story. For instance, how can we believe in a literal 24-hour creation day when science have observed that the world is actually billions of years old? We have evidence that animals, insects, and even humans have evolved from their original created forms, and we scientists have observed natural selection as a way that species survive. Some Christians, as they are called, young earth creationists, believe that the earth is only about 10,000 years old. And philosophers, more specifically atheist Richard Dawkins, being the most famous, has been able to cut holes through this idea using reason and philosophy and science. And the Richard Dawkins of the world would look to those young earth creationists and say, they're just a bunch of idiots. And the young earth creationists retort, well, respectfully, sir, you're just a jerk. Well, let me say this. You can still be a Christian and believe that the world was created in 6 literal days. There are some very smart people out there with PhDs, MDs, and a host of scholarly degrees that come up with some pretty compelling arguments for the belief that the world is only 10,000 years old. Now, I respect these Christians because of their commitment to the biblical record and to their faith and their commitment of God. Their criticism is that seeing evolution, the idea that we have changed over millions of years, they see it as a lessening of God's role in creation and design of the world. They see Charles Darwin's theory of evolution as an affront to God's power, design, and intent. Now, personally speaking, I don't believe in that the world was created in 6 literal 24-hour days. With that being said, my sermon isn't necessarily to sway young earth creationists. I can still call young earth creationists my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe that you can be a Christian, a faithful follower of Christ, and still believe in the things that science says about our origins and the theory of evolution and how it teaches us that we have changed over time. But for others, this creates a crisis of faith. Can I still believe in God and be a Christian, believe in science, specifically what Darwinism says about how humans came to be? For many Christians, they don't want to believe that we have descended from monkeys or apes or some primate. And for some Christians, they can't believe that natural selection has played a role in our creation of humanity. But at the same time, there are times when I can also be critical of science as a person of faith. For instance, in 1995, the National Association of Biology Teachers of America issued their statement on teaching evolution. And they declared that evolution is, quote, an unsupervised, impersonal, unpredictable, and natural process of temporal descent. I don't know if you picked up on a few words there. Because wait a minute. Science concerns itself with making observations of our known world and testing them. The very definition of science is the intellectual and practical activity of systematic study of our natural world through observation and experimentation. So if the biology teachers of America start believing that teaching evolution and creation, that they were unsupervised and impersonal, well, now they're making theological statements. Scientists and biologists and teachers can't observe God's personal, divine, transcendent activity because it's transcendent. It goes beyond what we can see and observe. That's not science. Those are religious ideas. And if science wants to start making philosophical and theological ideas and pronouncements, then I don't believe in that type of science. Because science concerns itself with observation, experiment, study of our observable world. Theology is the study of religious divine activity that transcends our world. Now, there was such a pushback by theologians and scholars and even scientists in the scientific community that the National Association of Biology Teachers, they went back to their statement in 1997 and they removed the words unsupervised and impersonal from their policy statement. But the question remains, can I still be a student of science and a student of Jesus? Can Christians believe in the theory of evolution and natural selection and all the things that Charles Darwin wrote about? Now, Charles Darwin didn't get everything right, and that's why part of it is a theory. But God has created us with an ability to change. When we're born, we don't stay in the state of infancy. No, our bodies are programmed to grow and change and shape in different ways. And as people of faith, we can believe that either God, through an intentional act or through our own ability to change, created his beloved creation known as humanity. But can it be both? God changes us, and do we as humanity have the capacity to change? Isn't that what the resurrection of Jesus was all about? God transforming the state of death into the new life of Jesus Christ, the metamorphosis of a dead body into a metamorphosis of a new created body in Christ? Isn't that what we believe theologically, that our old ways have passed away and all things can become new? Many think Charles Darwin posited the idea that we descend from monkeys or primates or apes. But actually, Darwin never believed that and never wrote that. Darwin said that we have a shared ancestor that's different than descending from monkeys or primates. Did you know that Darwin was a man of faith as well? Darwin actually thought about going into the ministry. And he used the word creator 9 times and the word God 2 times in his book, Origins of Species, which the theory of evolution is based off of. He wrote this, that the creator's world, that the created world wasn't godless or directionless. As a matter of fact, he said this, there is a grandeur in this natural selection of life, with its powers having been originally breathed by the creator into a few forms, into one. Darwin believed that humans and monkeys share a common ancestor. And in evolutional biology, scientists state that all organic life, because of our DNA, has a common ancestor. Yes, we share 95% of our DNA with primates, but did you know we share 80% of our DNA with cattle? Did you know that 60% of our DNA we share with bananas? Look it up. It's DNA. It's there. Did you know that the Bible confirms such a notion, that all of organic life has a common ancestor, whether a cell or an amoeba or whatever it is? If you think it's heresy to believe that we have a common ancestor with monkeys, then believing in the common ancestor of Adam, you have a common ancestor that's far worse, because literally your common ancestor is dirt. You are dirt. I don't mean you're horrible people, but we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 this, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God used the stuff of earth to create humanity, to create you. He used dust. In Hebrew, and we miss this because we can't, or most of us don't know how to read ancient Hebrew, we miss this, that in Hebrew, Adam, his name literally means dirt. More specifically, earth or ground. So the next time someone accuses you of treating you like dirt, you can tell them, well, that's where I came from. Or as someone told me after the 9 o'clock service, that they didn't feel bad now when someone says that they are old as dirt. God used the dust of the earth and he breathed life into Adam, humanity. God used his own breath and breathed life into you. The Hebrew word used here for breath is ruah, which also means spirit. God used part of the earth, and God used part of his essence, his spirit, and made human life. Your family origin story is much messier and much more holier than you think, because it means you are dust and divinity. You are dust and divinity. You are connected to every living thing because you were made from the ground. Humanity was made from the stuff of creation. And you are divine, in a sense, because God has imparted his spirit into you. The same spirit that hovered over creation, the same spirit that embodied Jesus, the same spirit that descended upon Jesus like a dove at his baptism, the same spirit that was there at the day of Pentecost is in you. That's our family origin story. No matter if you believe in a literal six-day creation or that the world was created over billions of years through natural selection, no matter where you fall on the spectrum, you are dust and divinity. And when God created humanity, when God created you, he not only said it was good, but it was very good. On your best day of life, on your worst day of life, on your most successful day of life, on the biggest failure day of your life, God says you are very good. No matter how much you mess your life up, you are still very good. And God tells us through Christ, we can be redeemed. We can be changed and made new. Friends, you are made of the stuff of creation. Remember that you are dust and you are divinity and you have been created and called very good. Let us pray. Lord God, as we, a people of faith, as some of us struggle through science to struggle to understand our world, God, there are some of us who see science as a helper, that see science explain the how, and our faith is the why. But God, there are others of us that see a literal account of creation. God, we pray that no matter where we are in this idea, that we share a commonality in Jesus Christ, that we can still be brothers and sisters of faith. God, help us to know that no matter what we do, no matter how much we mess up our life, you still call us good because we are made of the stuff of creation and you breathe your spirit into us. And part of you dwells within our hearts through Christ Jesus. We give you thanks that your love is infinite, that you are divinely patient with us. God, on our best days, on our worst days, help us to be reminded that you love us and you care for us as your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.